Amen. Enjoyed that very much. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sure enjoy the music around here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This will be, again, continue our series on growing as a Christian. And to what I enjoyed studying and reading. And I came across a quote that said something to this effect. Everybody understands tonight, or at least most of us would know, if I mentioned Romans chapter 7, you would know Romans chapter 7 is talking about Paul, talking about that conflict that was within him. He wanted to do what's right, and yet he did what was wrong, and he did what's wrong when he wanted to do what's right, and there was a constant struggle within him, and a war, he said, within me. And as Christians, most of us experience that. And just reminding you tonight that if there's not a struggle within you, then you have a problem. There ought to be a struggle within you. There ought to be a struggle. There ought to be a struggle within us to want to do what's right, to follow after righteousness, to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. There should be a struggle there. In other words, there should be a want to there. And but there can come a time in a Christian's life where a Christian can become very apathetic and complacent and say, you know what, I'm okay with where I'm at. You know, I'm okay with where I'm at in my Christian walk and my Christian life. And I just want to challenge you again tonight. Let's all get there in Romans chapter 7. Let's fight the good fight of faith, and let's press toward the mark and continue to try and strive through the help and with the power of the Holy Spirit to live a Christian life, to grow in Christ and not become a complacent and content with where we're at spiritually. Now, Paul says that whatever state I am, there, if we'd be content. That's talking about the outward stuff. But the inward stuff, we shouldn't be content about. We should continue to strive. And look here with me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Paul had been talking about this ministry that we have now, this New Testament ministry, this gospel ministry that we have in earthen vessels. And he says, listen, there's going to be times of struggle and times of persecution. He said, listen, there's Christ is there for us. Look at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, everything that we do, everything that happens to us is going to come back and reflect, and God will get the credit to the glory of him. For all things are for your sakes. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, we're all headed down that direction. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. We know that we're all headed down that direction. And we all understand the body begins to deteriorate at the point at which it's born into this world. But the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, the inward man never has to stop growing. The outward man does. The outward man stops growing. The outward man begins to deteriorate. But the inward man doesn't. The inward man, as you grow older, can become stronger. As the outward man becomes weaker, as our flesh becomes weaker. I'm talking about the real stuff. The muscles and began to do, you know, lose the hair and begins to gray up. None of y'all having that problem? Gained a few pounds, right? We were mentioning the other day, you know, used to you could jump out the back of a truck and it was all right, but now you jump out the back of the truck, takes 2 days to recover from it. You feel the pain shoot up from the bottoms of your feet all the way through your hips. It's like, I don't want to do that again. But you do it anyway. I don't understand that. But the outward man's perishing, but the inward man absolutely can grow day by day. And there should be that constant battle within us, wanting to do what's right, struggling, and I'm not saying we should struggle every day, but there should be a want to follow after righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these great principles that we're going to learn from your word tonight. We pray, Lord, that each of us would be challenged to continue to grow in our inner man. In Jesus' name, amen. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. This is a truly simple principle. We're talking about growing from within. A truly simple principle is this. You care for the spiritual life of the inner person just as you care for the physical life of the outward person. You care for the inward man, the inward person, just as you care for the outward person. Just as our physical person grows from within, so does the spiritual person. Just as we need to be put healthy things into our bodies and exercise to grow, so do we must put spiritual things into our spiritual person to grow. Everybody, is that's not science there, is it? Not rocket science? I mean, pretty simple stuff. If we're going to grow physically, we must feed ourselves, right? If we're going to grow spiritually, we must feed ourselves spiritually. Unless you grow from within, you don't grow at all. Just as we can carry around a lot of food and never grow because we never assimilate. In other words, you can't take a small baby into the doctor and the doctor says, okay, the baby's not getting enough food and you have to supplement and do this and do that. I know with our children, we had to do a few things here and there to help sometimes to put a little weight on them. A doctor says, do this, do this. Well, you can't go to the supermarket and buy a piece of, 5-pound hamburger meat and tie it on a string and put it around their neck the next time you go to the doctor and say, look, they're up to the weight. You know what I'm saying? They have to simulate it. They have to take it in. The baby wouldn't have a hard time eating hamburger meat, but you get the point. You've got to take the food in order to grow, in order to assimilate it. And you can't grow spiritually by simply carrying around a lot of impressive religious luggage. In other words, just coming to church, dressing up in a suit and tie, doesn't make you spiritual. Man, we have covered this many times, and we'll cover it over. Review is the best teacher. Just because you read your Bible every day this last week, or this week so far, does not necessarily make you spiritual. Be doers of the word and hearers, be doers of the word and not hearers only. It has to be assimilated. And it has to be practiced in order for you to grow. Right? Simply reading your Bible and not practicing it, the Bible describes it as knowledge puffeth up. It'll do nothing but make you prideful. I'm just quoting the Bible. Right? In order for us to be spiritual, we have to assimilate it, and that means once you assimilate it, you will do it. You will perform it. You can't just say, well, I believe this, this, and this, and never do it. That means you don't believe it. You only practice what you believe. Hello? Say, I come to Wednesday night to hear this again, preacher. Go to something else. Well, this is it. Growing simply does not simply mean to carry around a lot of religious luggage. It doesn't mean that, it means that, simply because you don't cuss and you don't chew and you don't go with girls and dudes does not necessarily make you spiritual. Now, it may put you in a position where the Holy Spirit can make you spiritual. Okay? But it does not necessarily make you spiritual. The Pharisees had, the Pentateuch memorized, the first 5 books of the Bible. I mean, they followed the law. They dressed in godly garb. They made sure that everybody saw them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They were religious on the outside, but on the inside they weren't. We'll cover that in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, we think about spiritual growth. We think about our senses. Think about, again, the parallel between physical growth and spiritual growth. The parallels between physical life and the spiritual life. And one of those is found, again, in our spiritual senses. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Again, Peter here talking to young ladies. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. In other words, Peter's saying here that what is on the inside is more important than what's on the outside. That a meek and quiet spirit is more important than your hair being combed and wearing the right clothes and doing all these things. Everyone with me? Let me also clarify that if you're right on the inside, the outside will take care of itself. I hear that all the time. Well, God looks on the heart, and we're going to cover that again in a moment too. But yes, God looks on the heart. But your heart will affect the outside. We'll cover that in a moment. The spirit can be healthy or sick, just like the body can be healthy or sick. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And though the body gets sick, and though the body begins to die at birth, but the spiritual man can grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. It never dies." Isn't that amazing? It never dies. We should continually be growing in the Lord. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Do you understand you have spiritual senses tonight? There absolutely is spiritual senses. And as you grow in the Lord, those senses become attuned. Hello? As you grow in the Lord, you become sensitive to those things which Christ is sensitive to. Absolutely. The Bible speaks of our spiritual senses and need to be in good working condition. Let's look at some of these. Spiritual sense of hearing. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Ooh, that's pretty tough. Just simply saying Christians many times are hard of hearing. Hard of hearing. John 8:47 says, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The lost person doesn't hear anyway. They are not of God. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Christian ought to follow the Savior. So when, for instance, when Psalm 78 says, "Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel." Or when Jesus said, "Hear," or "listen," or was he talking about the group or the crowd? I mean, they all could hear him. He wasn't talking about their physical hearing. He was talking about their spiritual hearing. Sometimes our spiritual hearing is hard of hearing. All right, let me illustrate this even better. Mama yells to the kids and to you and says, or yells to the kids, "You got your chores done?" Do you usually have to yell once or twice? Sometimes three times. Four? Five? A little hard of hearing. Everybody heard it. Right? They just weren't listening good. Sometimes daddy has to get up and say, "Okay, listen." You know, and get their attention, right? And they began to listen. And then they go perform it. Sometimes at the motivation that you have to do. Correct? I mean, sometimes God just has to wake us up. He has to get our spiritual attention. And sometimes we're hard of hearing. Why? Why do kids not seemingly have selective hearing? And sometimes husbands do as well. Well, I don't want to get up and go do what she says, right? And we have selective hearing with God many times because we just don't want to do what He says. Hello? Amen. We just don't want to do what we don't perform what He says. Sometimes we just have spiritual hearing problems. And we talk about our spiritual taste. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 19 verse 10 says, "Sweeter," talking about the Bible, "sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." 1 Peter 2:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is gracious." Many times our taste buds, our spiritual taste buds are dull because when we read the Bible, it's not sweet to us anymore, it's bitter. We think about that saying I've heard since I was a kid, sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. And when our spiritual taste buds are dull, I told you you had to listen a little louder tonight. When our spiritual senses, when our spiritual taste buds are dulled by sin, very difficult to grow spiritually. Everybody still there? All right. Lastly is our spiritual sight. Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eye of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling." We preached that here just a few months ago. What a great passage there in Ephesians chapter 1. And there Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. He says, "I am praying for you that your eyes of your understanding would be open." Not the physical eyes, but that your spiritual understanding would be open. Your spiritual understanding, that your spiritual sight would be open. Paul was praying for them. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 is talking primarily, nearly every verse is talking about what? The Bible. The commandments of God. He says, God, open thou mine eyes. And I'm telling you, many times our spiritual sight is blurred and dulled because we don't take the time to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what we're reading. Listen, and you've been taught this, most of you have. When you go to read your Bible, when you go to read your devotional time, and you sit down before there at the table or wherever you're studying, and you open up your Bible to do your daily Bible reading, you should pray before you get started. And you should simply pray. Usually, one of the first prayers I pray each morning, again, most of the time, is, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Man, I want to rely upon Him, because I sure don't want to rely upon me, because I ain't going to get it done. And then many times, I'll simply pray, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. Open mine eyes so I can see the great and wondrous things out of Thy Word. We ought to be excited about the Bible. The Bible's an exciting book. It's a wondrous book. It is, absolutely, if you will read it every day and grow closer to God and allow your spiritual taste buds to develop, you will again gain a taste, or you will attune your taste buds to enjoy and love the Word of God. It'll be sweeter than honey. Again, when I was a kid, I hated spinach. When I was a kid, I hated milk. And my dad made me drink milk. He said, son, you're going to drink that glass of milk. I said, Daddy, I don't like it. He said, I don't care, you're going to drink it. And you know what I did? I drank it. He'd fix a big old pot of spinach. And I'm like, Dad, I don't like spinach. He said, eat it. Well, we're too soft on our kids today. All they like is chicken nuggets, right? Chicken. You know, when they're real small, you just tell them it's chicken. They'll eat it. It might be steak. Chicken. I'm just kidding. Son, eat that. Eat that spinach. Eat it. Eat it. Yes, sir. I did what I was told. You know what? I love spinach today. You know what happened? My taste buds, even when I was a kid, I began to like spinach. I mean, my taste buds changed. Listen, all of us would agree that the Bible's good for us. But does it always taste good? No. See, preacher, I read my Bible and I'm not getting nothing out of it. Well, how's your spiritual sight doing? Have you asked the Lord to open your heart? Have you asked the Lord to open your eyes that you can see? Maybe God's not giving you any further, I would use a revelation in this sense. Maybe God's not speaking to you anymore because you haven't done the last thing He told you to do. Hello? It's kind of like, you've heard me use the illustration of the preacher who preached John 3:16 for 7, 8 nights in a row. And somebody finally asked him, why are you preaching the same message? I mean, the same message. He said, because you haven't got the first one. Just kept preaching it. This really happened in D.L. Moody's church. Just kept preaching it. Maybe your spiritual senses, your tastes, or your sight, or the hearing. And we need to go to God with these things. Say, Lord, open my understanding. Help me to understand. Lord, help me to develop a spiritual taste for the Word of God. And Lord, help me to hear what You want me to hear. Help me to, again, to attune to my spiritual senses. We talk about our spiritual health and growing within and being spiritually healthy. Again, in order to be physically healthy, we must exercise, which all of us could use a little more. In order for us to grow spiritually, we must spiritually exercise. You read the Bible spiritually, it's like lifting weights. You know, praying is like jogging, and you know, whatever you want to say, coming to church is like, you know, running a marathon. But each one of these things we do is part of that spiritual exercise we do, not to make us spiritual, but to put us in a position where God can make us spiritual. Amen? Amen. Spiritual exercise. How was your spiritual exercise today? Did you exercise spiritually? Are you spiritually healthy? We need to cultivate our spiritual health as we do our physical health. Some of us maybe need a little better job on the spiritual than we do the physical. We would be holier and happier people if we exercise physically. And we'd be holier and happier people if we exercise spiritually. We think again about the mistake of the Pharisees who majored on what people saw. They majored on the outward person. They neglected the inner person. that God saw. In Matthew 23, Jesus said to them, you clean the outside of the cup, but your inside of your cup is dirty. He said, you're full of dead man's bones. Your sepulcher is clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. And listen, God works from the inside out. That's why we tell people, we don't tell people, hey, if you'll just turn over a new leaf, if you'll reform your life and come down here and say, God, I'll change, I'll turn over a new leaf, then you can get saved. We don't tell them that. We say to come down here to the altar, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And listen, He will change you. He will turn your life around. Amen? Because you can't do it. And sometimes we kind of, in the Christian life, we get the idea that, well, if I do this, 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 and this, and we've been told it as kids. I'm not saying I was told it as a kid, but I was pressured in this direction. In other words, read your Bible, pray, give, dress right, you know, soul winning, and do those basic things, and God won't take you out tomorrow. Any of y'all taught that way? I'm just saying I think we need to be careful in that. Just doing these four or five things does not make you spiritual. The Pharisees did those four or five things. But it's taking those things in and allowing the Lord to change the inside and then changing the outside. It's putting yourself in a position where God can make you spiritual. Amen. And I that's the only way I know of explaining it. I've tried many different ways. God has to do the work. You can't become spiritual on your own. All you can do is put yourself in a position where God can make you spiritual. You feed yourself spiritually. You make sure you're in the Word of God daily. You do pray daily. You do go to church consistently. You do give. You do soul win. You do those basic five-star Christian things. You know, three to thrive, as Dr. Lee Robertson used to say. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You do all these things and revival meetings and missions conferences and Bible conferences and marriage conferences and all of these stewardship conferences. All these things to put you in a position where God can grow you spiritually. Where your taste buds don't become dull. Where your hearing can get the wax out of your ears. That's what preachers do. Get up and preach and try to get the wax out of your ears. Amen. So many hypocrites running around like the Pharisees and Sadducees who are simply playing a part. Are playing a part. Like the old plays they had back in Shakespeare's day where they would take, in the Greek plays, where they would take and change the masks to play a different part. The same actor would play various, many parts. All he would do is change his mask to show which character he was playing. And there are a lot of Christians today who are just merely playing the part. They're playing the part. But on the inside, they're rotting out. The important thing in life isn't seeing how many people we can impress with our reputation, but seeking to please the Lord by building godly character. And can I tell you, I skipped a lot of this, but when we are more concerned with our reputation than we are with character, life starts to erode from within. And if nothing is done to stop the decay, life eventually falls apart. In other words, someone who puts on a show at church, a preacher who puts on a show at church, eventually will fall morally. If they're immoral on the inside, it'll eventually work its way out. Hello? If, again, because they're majoring on the outside and not the inside. How do I major on the inside? I feed my spiritual man. I feed him. And then I pray to God that He would show me and give me understanding. And then I do the Word of God. It just doesn't appeal to me at all to sit down with a person. It's like, hello, I'm from Heritage Baptist Church. My name's Eric Crawford. This is Micah. We're out just knocking doors, encouraging people, and just want to see if you go to church anywhere. Yes, sir. I go. You know, I used to go to church, and man, you can tell he had five beers. But what happens? You get into conversation with him, and find out he knows half the Bible. He grew up in church. All these things, and man, you know, I used to. I would sit and debate. I don't anymore, man. I shake dust off my feet and I go to the next house. I don't give them the time of day, especially. But, boy, it's amazing how They can quote the scriptures to you and talk theology. And I had a Church of Christ guy one time who was half drunk who taught more theology than I heard from most of my professors at school. I'm telling you, I was probably 19 and we probably talked for an hour. I didn't know any better then. I mean, I wasn't about to change him. He was sure wasn't about to change me. But boy, he knew his theology, but he sure didn't practice it. It just doesn't appeal to me at all for somebody to preach back to me when not applying what they already know. Absolutely. We need to apply what we know. Most of the time, our understanding is way past our obedience. Most of the time, our knowledge is way more than our obedience. And why should God give us more knowledge if we hadn't obeyed what He told us to obey? Well, I feel that. That's the way I feel. Doesn't that speak to you? You know, why, my knowledge, again, is far surpassed my obedience and what I do as a Christian. We shouldn't play the part. We, should, again, should be doers of the Word. The Christian life is lived from the inside out. We think of 1 Samuel chapter 16 where the Lord said, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And as He looked there at the brothers of David and said, "No, it's not this one, it's not on this one." And you could see old Samuel, in fact, he says it there in one section. He says, "Lord, you know, basically, is this not the man? I mean, look at this guy. I mean, he's the oldest brother, man. He's a strapping guy." And God said, "No, he's not it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do you have any more kids?" Jesse said, "Yeah, I've got one, but he's out. He's a shepherd. He's a nothing. He's a ruddy lad," the Bible says. He was fair, you know, fair-complected, ruddy. Not a bad-looking guy, but just not the physical specimen that his older brother was. And David came in, God said, "That's the man." God looks on the heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. And we must remember that. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Then we think, thirdly, about the heart motives. Heart motives. Sin comes from the heart. Sin comes from the heart. You think about, again, in the New Testament, Jesus said that if you hate your brother, you have murdered him. He said in the New Testament, if you desire a woman, you lust after her, you have committed adultery already in your heart. Sin is inward and works its way outward. Everyone, right? The heart, it's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. And whether you're giving, we need to give as unto the Lord, Matthew says. Give as unto the Lord. Think about the Pharisees who dropped, made sure everybody's seen what they dropped into the plate. I've told you this before, but my first pastor, I had a little lady who just loved, the offering plate would get past her about five rows before she'd stand up and say, "Oh, I forgot my offering." She just loved to shake it in front of everybody. And at that time, she was the biggest giver in the church. But she sure liked everybody to know it, you know. She wanted everybody to know it. That our motives do matter. Our heart matters. We should give as unto the Lord. We think about praying. Spurgeon used to say, he said, we should be careful about praying by the yard measurement, you know. Instead of praying a football field long, it might do some of us good to pray, you know, 5 feet long. But some people would stand up and pray very long and melodious prayers in front of public. Boy, we need to be careful. God says, pray in secret, and I'll reward you in secret. Pray in private, and I'll reward you privately. Everyone? Okay. I'll reward you openly. Also in fasting. We talk about fasting and not doing, making it an outward open show. If you're going to fast, which is absolutely a New Testament biblical principle, and I remember my dad doing it many times growing up. It's a great way to get closer to the Lord if you do it right. But you should never make it a show. If you're going to fast, you shouldn't tell nobody except maybe your wife and children. And because they're going to notice anyway. Right? If you fast, you shouldn't go to work with that down spirit. Droopy fish. What's wrong with you today? "Oh, I'm fasting. Me and the Lord, we going to get a little closer." No, that's not what the Bible says. We've got to be careful. Again, that inward character We must act only to please God and not others. Character is the basic building block of the Christian life. No matter how much talent, ability, money, fame, etc. we possess, if we don't have character, we don't have anything. Reputation is what men and women think of us. Character is what God knows of us. Character is what you are in the dark. That's a D.L. Moody quote. Character is doing the right thing in the right way at the right time, all the time. Character. Character, character, character. I'll never forget this. When we were in senior in high school, it was, U.S. News and World Report or someone had done a survey of all the top executives of all the top companies in America and asked them what their number one requirement or the number one thing they look for in an employee. You know what number one was? This was in 92. I bet it's still the same. Integrity. Character. Character mattered. It used to matter to the Dallas Cowboys. It doesn't anymore. But character. All right, real quickly in the conclusion. We think about several lies that many Christians believe that will destroy and wreck your life and your character. One, God doesn't really mean what He says. You ever hear anybody tell you, well, preacher, that's your own private interpretation. That's your interpretation. You know, you tell them something from the Bible like, you know, the Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, don't commit adultery. So, well, preacher, that's your... No, the Bible says it. You don't get a chance to... And the Bible's a no private interpretation. And I'm in a hurry. I can get away with it. Be sure your sins will find you out. Oh, I'll do it only once. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. It will catch up with you. Everybody's doing it. Teenagers still use it. Adults may not say it, but they're saying it on the inside. Everybody's doing it. Noah wouldn't be around. I can make it up. I can make up for it somehow. Sin always involves those around you. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. No matter what you do, you affect your sin, affects someone around you. You say, well, I'll make it up to my kids later. No. Not if you fall in front of them. They'll remember it from here on out. Nobody will know about it. God does. Again, it's eroding the inside. And eventually you'll topple over one day. True godly character unifies and simplifies our life. I love this. I want to get to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? Listen closely now. We're done. Life is unified as you grow in the Lord. Life is unified. In other words, life is simplified. When you work on the inner life and live to the glory of Christ, your values change, your priorities change. Why? Because you only have one person to please. It's not whether you please your boss, please your wife, please your kids, please your husband, please the Lord. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, if God is first place in your life, if He's the priority, listen, if He's the priority, then you will please the others around you. Amen. In other words, growing in the Lord and doing the Word of God and just listening to Him and serving Him and loving Him and making Him priority will just revolutionize your life with your other the other commitments you have, the other relationships you have. It's all about Him. All about Him. Christ is our all in all. Let's stand. Have a verse of invitation. Hymn 161, I believe. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Growing from the inside out. How is your spiritual walk tonight?